Thank you, brother. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that this is your manual for us today. And I pray that as we reflect upon it, this passage, and as we wait upon you in these moments together, that you will see fit to speak to us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. We've been singing about him, about your amazing grace. And we thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, that you are in our midst today and that you want to minister to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. There's a great thirst for knowledge today. Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy, where he says that men seek to know. And in our generation, we have community colleges all over our province, all over our land. And adults are going back to school. They are seeking to further their education. They are pursuing all kinds of things. But beloved, this morning, the greatest pursuit is the pursuit of seeking God, pursuing God, knowing him, making God a lifetime pursuit. The greatest pursuit in all of the world is to know God. This is what Jeremiah says. God is speaking, rather, through Jeremiah. And he says, let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And we're here this morning to worship, to think about God, to desire God. I was impressed with the songs that were chosen, the hymns and the choruses that were chosen this morning, because all of them speak about God and how great he is, how mighty he is, omniscient, all-knowing. He knows all about us. There's a verse over in Psalms. I just want to share it with you. Psalm 139. How God is seeking us, and how we need to seek him. And the psalmist says, this is a psalm of David, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. Listen to that. There is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows us. He knows our every thought, our every word. And this morning, he welcomes us. He welcomes you and I to come to him and to sit at his feet like Mary of old. I met a fellow some time ago, and he told me, I haven't been in church for 20 years, but do you know that man could tell me a lot about God, his concept of God, what he thought of God? And he had many ideas about God, but they did not conform to the God of the Bible. They were figments of his own imagination. This morning, I want to ask you, how well do you know God, the living God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds the universe, our planet Earth, in his hands, and the one who knows us intimately? Beloved, this morning, he wants us to know him, to know him. And as I said, knowing God, beloved, ought to be the passion of every Christian. Our purpose in life is not to prove, and my purpose this morning is not to prove the existence of God. The Bible doesn't prove the existence of God. The very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible doesn't prove the existence of God. And as I said, my purpose is not to prove God's existence, but rather to whet our appetites, to thirst after God, to long for God, to spend time in his presence. As I said, it's a privilege for Leon and I to stay with Sharon less than 24 hours, and we've gotten to know her. She has told us about her family, her 9 grandchildren, her three children and 9 grandchildren, and we have learned a lot about her in less than 24 hours. You know what? Do you know what? God wants us to know him, to get to know him. How do we do that? How do we get to know God? A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What we think about God is the most important thing about us. And in his prayer, Tozer says this, A.W. Tozer. How many of you are familiar with A.W. Tozer? Anybody? Oh, great. We had a couple in our home just the other night, and she's a reader. She has lupus. She can't get out, come out in the sun, and she's so limited. She has a hard time going to church. If you have those certain kind of bulbs, she can't go. It bothers her. Anyway, I said to her, Debbie, I have a library of books down there. You can go into my library and pick out anything you like. She picked out several books. One of them was by A.W. Tozer. And she loves the Lord. She can't get out to church very much, but she wanted to study this book by A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer prayed this prayer. O Lord God Almighty, enlighten our minds that we may know thee as thou art, so that we may perfectly love thee and worthily praise thee. Beloved, this morning, we cannot love, we cannot really love our neighbor until, first of all, we learn to know God and love Him with all our hearts. In Ephesians, I'm going to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And the Apostle Paul is writing to one of his beloved churches. And in verse 16, we read these words. I'm going to start with verse 15. This is his prayer for spiritual wisdom for the church at Ephesus. And here's what he says. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Isn't that something? Your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And notice what he prays. Notice what he prays in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. The greatest pursuit in life for the child of God, beloved, is to know God and to love Him with all our hearts. Knowing the living and true God as revealed in the Bible is of utmost importance in our daily Christian life, day by day, in our workplace, in our home, with our family. And I'm going to refer back to Jeremiah again. In Jeremiah chapter 9, the verses that we read, God describes Himself here. And throughout the Bible, for that matter, He described Himself in many different ways. He is a loving God. He is a holy God. Well, let me go back to it. He says to Jeremiah, I am the Lord of the universe. He's in charge, by the way. And we need to pray. We just celebrated our nation, Canada, just celebrated Canada Day. And I didn't listen to all of it or see it on television, but I don't think there was much mention of God. We need to pray for our beloved Canada. Because it is my opinion, and I'm not up here just to give my opinions, but it is my opinion that Canada is slipping. Canada is slipping. When the Prime Minister goes to the gay pride event on Canada Day and hoists the flag of that institution, when the Bible condemns homosexuality outrightly all through the Scriptures, God says, I am the Lord. And He has been, and He is today, and He will be. And He's going to judge us when we rebel against Him, when we defy Him. He says, exercising loving kindness and judgment, or another word, in the margin of my Bible is justice. God is a just God. He's a just God. He's a loving God, yes. But he's also, beloved, he's a just God. And he's going to deal with wrong. He's going to deal with sin. And we can thank God. We sang that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. That is available for every lost sinner who comes to the cross and repents and trusts Jesus Christ, who alone can save us from our sin, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. How well do you know God this morning? How well do I know God? I want to make him preeminent. I want to pursue him. I don't have many years left. You know? And we don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have. And in the remaining moments and hours and days that we have, beloved, our main thing should be to know God, to love God with all our hearts. And how do we know him? How can we know him? Well, we have to go to the Word of God. We have to love this book. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it, to help us understand it. And God has shown us, he has shown us who he is, what he is like. And he wants us to know him. Not only has he given us this book, the Bible, a written revelation, but he has given us a living example in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became a man, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, born a little baby, helpless seemingly, and grew up as a boy and as a man. And he preached and taught and healed and comforted people for 3 years. And then, beloved, the Son of God. You believe in the Trinity, don't you? God the Father, God the Son, who became a man, and God the Holy Spirit. And he went to the cross, beloved, for you. And we sang about that this morning. I love this, your service. It was so helpful to me as I was thinking of coming up here to minister the Word of God to you. Jesus, God revealed himself to us. He reveals himself to us in the Word, as I said. And he's revealed himself to us in his Son, so that he could be seen, and so that he could be heard, and so that he could be touched. Remember John, the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus? What did he do? What did he do? He leaned on Jesus' breast. Do you know you can do that? You can lean on Jesus' breast today, not physically. God wants us to know him, beloved. I'm reminded of John the Baptist in John chapter 1. We see that John is introducing the Lord Jesus. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's preaching, "John, I like John the Baptist." Jesus said, "There's none born of woman greater than John the Baptist." That's what Jesus said. And he was preaching on this particular day, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." I think he pointed his finger down there at Jesus. And the Bible says that two of his disciples, in verse 35, again the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And verse 38 says, "And Jesus turned and seeing them follow him, he said, 'What seek ye? Who are you looking for? What do you want?'" And they were surprised, I think, and they didn't know what to say. They said, "Lord, where do you live? Where are you staying?" And you know what Jesus said? You know what Jesus, he said, "Come. Come and see." And the scripture tells us that they went and they remained with him that day. There's another incident back in Luke chapter 9 that I want to take you to. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now I'm trying to answer the question, how do you seek God? How do you get to know God? How does God become important, very important, the most important one in your life? Now, I know you have important people in your life. You have your spouse, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. And they are special. They're wonderful. We have 11. Sharon, we have more grandchildren than you have. Micah Hills. You ever heard tell of Micah Hills? He's our oldest grandson. I tell you, he is something else. Of course, they all are. All of them. And Janae, she's our youngest. How old is she, Leona? 10? 11. She's 11. So we have one that's 31 and one that's 11. The youngest one is 11. We love our grandchildren. And, you know, we have to communicate with them on a regular basis. Certainly on their birthday and on Halloween. Valentine's. And Easter and Christmas. And, you know, and they're expecting letters or something from us. There was a grandmother who said, "I give to my grandchildren every time, you know, Christmas and Easter and Valentine's and birthdays, and they never come to thank me. They never say thank you." And she said, "This year is different. I send them all a gift, money, and all of them came to my door. All of them came to thank me." And the lady said, "What made the difference?" She said, "I didn't sign the checks." I thought that was pretty good. We're in Luke chapter 10. By the way, oh dear. I remember Mr. Breeden, he used to teach homiletics. And to us budding preachers, way back in the 50s, I went to NBBI in 1950. I was 19 years old when I went to NBBI. You come from a fishing village, as I came from a lumbering village, and everybody worked in the woods. So when I graduated from high school at 17, I went into the woods, worked with my dad. I tell people I got my post-high school education on the end of a crosscut saw, before the days of the chainsaw. Yeah. And I came back home and worked at the mill, and my mother said, "Wilbur, woods work is not for you." And she took me to Moncton. I got a job at Eaton's. I don't know why I said that, but from there, God called me to NBBI. I don't know where I would be today if it were not for NBBI in my life. Send your young people. Now, I know that you have Sunday school and you have youth meetings and you have a youth pastor and so on. We'll be praying for you as you seek God's leading in the choice, the man to lead your church and this congregation. I don't know where I would be today if it weren't for NBBI. Send your young people to NBBI or to some school where they can get so that their appetite for the Word of God will be intensified. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Now it happened as they went that he entered into a village. That is, Jesus and his disciples. They entered into a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a little sister named Mary. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. That meant that she was the elder, the oldest ones, the one in charge. She welcomed Jesus. Martha. And as I said, she had a little sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And you know, that can happen. That happens to us all the time. We get distracted with much serving. We get doing things. And I'm not criticizing Martha. She was a wonderful lady. And Jesus came when her brother died to minister to them, the two sisters. And Martha was distracted with much service. She was in the kitchen, and probably it was hot. She was cooking the meal. She wanted to have the very best meal for Jesus, the Lord Jesus. She loved him with all of her heart. But she became distracted and worried. And she came to the Lord Jesus and she said, "Lord, can't you do something with my sister, Mary?" Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And she expected Jesus to speak to Mary and say, "Mary, you get out there in the kitchen with your sister." But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. Do you know why he didn't do it? Look at it. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." And Mary hath chosen that good part, which I will not take away from her. Now, I'm paraphrasing here. Mary hath chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Beloved, the most important thing in all the world for you and for me is to know God, to get to know Him more intimately. I said a moment ago that we were with Sharon, who was such a wonderful hostess, and the ladies, they stayed up till almost midnight and last night, and we really got to know her. Can we do the same for the Lord Jesus? How do we do it? By spending time with Him. Those two disciples that heard John preach about Jesus, they followed Him, and Jesus said, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Where do you stay?" And they went to where Jesus stayed, and they spent time with Him. And they became disciples of the Lord Jesus. They left John. And here we see Martha troubled, and Mary. And I don't want to make a comparison, but I think that maybe Martha learned something that day about serving and not being distracted and not being worried. And I think she learned the lesson that Mary was practicing, spending time with Jesus. And I want to tell you this. I'm 85 years old, and I'm learning more every day about spending time with Jesus. Because, do you know what? I'm going to be spending eternity with Him, and I want to get to know Him. I want to get to know Him better. I know I was telling you about Mr. Breeden. Mr. Breeden said, "If you don't strike oil in 20 minutes, quit drilling. Quit boring." So I'm boring you now. I've gone over time. I'm going to stop. Good to be with you today. And I don't want to preach any longer because I'm coming back next Sunday. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You that You desire above all else that we might know You, the true and living God. Know of Your kindness and Your mercy and Your grace, that we might become intimate with You in our daily Christian living. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.